Now, on to our interview with Carol Paitko, the executive director of the Fraser Valley Brain Injury Association. She has worked in the nonprofit industry for 22 years and the business sector for 15. Like many nonprofits in BC, the Fraser Valley Brain Injury Association has been impacted by a dip in fundraising revenue. But Paitko is concerned about more than money. She says people with brain injuries are having a particularly difficult time adjusting to the new normal of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that can have real consequences that are hard to predict and manage. Fortunately, in this interview, we talk about some potential solutions. Here's our conversation.
Are you finding that because of the situation out there economically, the people are being tight with their giving to you guys this year?
It's been interesting. We had a golf tournament, which surprisingly, we did it in September, all physical distancing, and we had a great response. But I think that was more a function of the team that we put together, but people were quite generous. We did an online 50-50 draw, which worked out quite well. But in terms of people's budgets, yeah, they don't have the funding to give you what they might normally have given you. We've had a lot of volunteers step in to support us that we've never met before or had that support before. But the fundraising is a concern, because I know that we anticipate probably a 30% decrease in our fundraising revenue this year.
I'm curious about something that you brought up, which is that the clients, like the folks that you work with in Abbotsford who do have brain injuries, are facing a lot more hurdles than they already face. And this is a community that faces hurdles to begin with, which is ostensibly why you folks do what you do. What would you like to see done for them to help improve their quality of life that is out of your control?
Realistically, I think access to secure, stable, affordable housing would be a huge issue for people with brain injuries. Once you have a roof over your head and the stability to know that, you know, you don't have to worry about the stress of being evicted. We've noticed an increase in evictions amongst our clients, and, you know, accessing new housing that's affordable when you're on an income of, you know, $1,200 a month is overwhelming and extremely challenging. And it's not something, like, we do our best to assist, but if I had to have my magic wand, I would say safe, secure, affordable housing would be one. Any way of support from the community. I mean, people with brain injuries are traditionally pretty misunderstood. It's an invisible disability. You know, they may look fine, but not necessarily be able to function as well as other people that don't have brain injuries. So just an understanding and patience and kindness for people that are going through challenges, and an offer of support in whatever way you can do that.
I'm shocked to hear that you've seen a rise in evictions of people who have brain injuries. Do you think that that's just a rise in evictions matching a general trend of more evictions happening, or do you think it's more targeted and specific than that?
I'm not sure that it would be targeted, but we've talked a little bit in this interview about people's ability to cope with stress. And when you have a brain injury, it's more impaired. So it can be a function a little bit of communication issues. So if a person with brain injury is stressed and an issue comes up, they may not have the ability to figure that out with their landlord. So they may end up in conflict with their landlord. So these aren't necessarily issues of non-payment of rent. They may be more interpersonal relationships with the landlords that people, when they're under stress, just can't problem solve as well and maybe don't communicate as well. It has been a challenge. I mean, there's always issues around housing, but we have been dealing a lot more with that lately.
And my guess would be the stress, but also maybe the financial pinch. Do you think that the people that you're serving are also feeling the stress of COVID financially?
Absolutely. I mean, there are increased costs to staying safe during COVID. As I mentioned, you know, just the simple thing of being able to order groceries online and have them delivered. For a lot of people, that's not an issue, right? put out our $15 and we happily, you know, stay safe in our homes. That's not an option for people with financial restrictions. Income assistance for people with disabilities is fairly limited, and it has increased a little bit during COVID, thank goodness. So we appreciate that for people, but it's still, the money is, it's not adequate to live on, much less during a pandemic with extra costs to just survive.
We know that the government of Canada has been helping different sectors financially. Have you tapped into federal funding available to make up for the loss of revenue that you're going to face this year?
Yeah, we did at the beginning. So we took it, we were able to access the wage subsidy, the 10%, initially for a few months. We were able to access about $6,600, I think, over that period of time. Our revenue hasn't dropped significantly as everything has kind of come in monthly for us. Our grants come in monthly or quarterly. So our income has sustained. The challenge for us is going to be at the end of the fiscal year, we may be looking at, you know, a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 drop over the 12-month period in our revenues. But it may not be enough in 1 month to qualify for some of those government subsidies.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Carol. I think that a lot of the questions that I had have been covered. Was there anything that you wanted to bring up in the interview today that we didn't get to talk about yet?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to commend, you know, all the nonprofit or agencies out there and all the businesses out there that are adapting. It's been really interesting to see the creative and innovative programs that have come because of COVID. It's pushed a lot of people to provide services in a different way and to really think about the challenges faced by people with disabilities and the social isolation of people with disabilities. It's kind of forced everybody into that same, you know, framework. It's not just people with disabilities being isolated and, you know, having challenges getting out of their house. We're all having to adapt and create new ways of doing things. So that's been really interesting and it's been admirable. And I do commend people for all the different ways that they've come up with to continue to support the community.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carol, for talking to us. It was really nice to get an idea of what your job is like right now.
Thank you so much. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe and well. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.